Takeover Show, this October the 29th, 2015. Got a lot of interesting stuff to talk to you about. And my co-host, Austin, good to have you back on with me too, son.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Real quick, I got a letter from you. Actually, it was an email that came in. We try to answer all. In fact, we pretty much do answer all of our emails that come in. And it was from a guy named Everett. And it was really an interesting letter. I don't know if you saw the response when I sent him yet or not, Austin. I'm going to read it on the air.
And I haven't checked it out yet.
That's okay. I figured it'd be kind of fun this way doing it, you know, all together. And it said, it was last Sunday night on the Dave Hodges show, and then again on our show last Monday and Tuesday, we replayed the Dave Hodges show, and we talked about the concept of a holographic universe and what we're in as far as the energy field, this matrix that we're in. And he asked me a very good question. He said, and the subject was the concept of a hologram, and can we control the reality. And the message was, if we are in this virtual reality, why do we need to focus on the physical? And I thought that was a great question. I mean, a simple little one-sentence question, and so I answered it. So I just finished it before the show started, so I wanted to kind of read it to everybody so everybody would kind of get this, because I think I might even post this one online. And I said, Everett, you don't have to focus on the physical, but natural laws kick in like starvation. There are natural laws even in the energy field which are tied to our DNA, which apparently communicates with this energy field primarily through light energy. I will discuss this next month on the Hagman Show on November the 20th. When I deal with Morgellons, I will cover all of this in more detail. These laws are a result of the Newtonian principles that are part of this reality. Apparently, the DNA that we have has an expiration date, which was added and greatly accelerated after the fall and then after the flood. Originally, before the fall and the flood, the rules were different. We could literally have lived forever, according to Genesis. With expiration comes deterioration. Maintaining physical needs extends the quality of life, apparently, even in a quantum energy field. This is why God gave us very specific nutrition guidelines in the Pentateuch, the five first books of Levitical law, also known as the Torah. The truth is, we are spiritual beings experiencing a physical existence in a temporary skin suit. The spiritual realities will soon be evident enough when our expiration date arrives. Get ready for the next go-around. That's where the fun, or not so much fun, really gets started. Thanks for the question. It was excellent. So I wanted to read that to everybody, because I just want to let everybody know that, you know, we've had such a tremendous response on Sunday night show, which was again aired here on the Ted Brower show on Monday and Tuesday. And so listen to that show again, especially part two on Tuesday for the 1 hour. And I go into more detail, but part one kind of ties it all together. But didn't you think that was a good question? Because that's a really good thought about that. I mean, we're in an energy field. Why do we have to worry about the physical? Because that's just how our body has to be done, taken care of in this quantum field we're in.
But that's definitely a very legitimate question, because you're right. A lot of people think that, you know, okay, well, if we are in this hologram, essentially, you know, why does it really matter what we do as long as our relationship to Christ is where it should be?
Chuck Missler wants me to ask him one time about that too, and he goes, I don't really know why we age. and I think I've got a little better handle on it with the answer that I gave. It's just the Morgellons fungi, it talks to our DNA via light receptors in our DNA. I'm going to cover all of that with Hagman. It's all back to quantum physics. We're finally starting to get a handle on how this whole thing interfaces. And it's kind of strange, because I'm sure that just the mineral aspect of what we have to have, the potassium, the calcium, the magnesium, the sodium, all of these things which are different alkalinizing agents of the body which help to maintain our pHs and how they help to hold against the crystalline matrix structure together have something to do with all of this too. But it's fascinating to me that, you know, we have such incredible listeners that write in questions like this. And of course, Austin, you know, you and I have been answering emails all week. What are some of the stories you want to talk about today, son?
First, what I wanted to go over that I've actually gotten numerous emails on this and phone calls is regarding the HPV vaccine. And I wanted to go in a little bit of detail, because I had done some research on it a ways back and hadn't really looked into it much lately. And I figured I wanted to brush on it again and just kind of let people know where it stands. And I actually even pulled up and printed off the entire page from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC in the United States of America, and what
now,
they
now you're,
say
you're,
on
you're
it.
You're talking about the Gardasil vaccine.
Yes, Gardasil, HPV vaccine, Gardasil, Gardasil 9, and Cervarix.
All right.
There's three different ones, apparently. They all are supposed to be given. There's three different booster shots. Basically, you're supposed to get one, and then you're supposed to get touched up with another one, let's see here, 1 to 2 months after the first dose, and then a third shot 6 months after the first dose. What's interesting is we're getting numerous just phone calls, emails, people are asking what they can do to help their child, primarily their daughters, after they've had this vaccine, because a lot of them are getting extremely sick. And so far there's been almost 32,000 reported adverse conditions from this HPV vaccine, and the pharmaceutical companies, the CDC, the Department for Health, everybody continues to say that it's coincidence. And even on the CDC's own page, they state that so far there has been 96 reported deaths after people receive the Gardasil vaccine.
God.
Which, I mean, that's pretty significant considering the fact that, you know, we're not talking about this is going between a broad spectrum of populace. This is designed for 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls specifically. So this is a significant problem that's coming about. And not only is the death an issue, but the known side effects that people are reporting. Here they have, let's see, they're saying Guillain-Barr syndrome. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Yeah. G-U-I-L-L-A-N.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's basically paralysis, partial paralysis, whole paralysis for a temporary or permanent length of time, meaning you were paralyzed the rest of your life after one shot of this. There are people reporting that. Also, severe seizures, blood clots, brain inflammation, fainting, rashes, allergies, GI dysfunction, and loss of speech. And what's funny, if you go on the CDC, the only thing they report on here as common side effects is pain in the arm where the shot was given, fever, headache, nausea, muscle pain. That's apparently all the side effects that happen with the HPV vaccine. But then they go on and they completely contradict themselves and state that there's been 96 reported deaths after this was given, and there's been over 31,000 extreme adverse reactions. So I just want to let people know, I just wanted to give that information out. So if you do have the question about it, if you are in the position where you're thinking about giving your child that vaccine, you really need to think about it long and hard, because yes, HPV can be a problem. It can be linked to cancer, but there's also a lot of natural treatments that can be, you know, used for that, as we've discussed before. So people really need to think about this before you give your 11 or 12-year-old daughter, you know, an injection that could very well kill them. I mean, there's a strong possibility if it doesn't kill them, they are going to have some type of adverse reaction. 31,000 people, that's not coincidence anymore. And I know you've heard about this a lot.
And always remember, Austin, they actually say probably only 2 to 8% of the total numbers are actually reported. So you'd have to multiply that by 10 pretty much, and so you'd have over 300,000 people. And that doesn't even include the amount of girls that are permanently sterilized from this. They're not even mentioning that. In addition to that, it doesn't talk about the fact that why they're wanting to administer to begin with is because of this whole generation has been turned into this, God, how do I say this in a nice way? It's kind of like the reason they give the hepatitis shot to the child the moment that it's born or within a few minutes after it's born is because they assume the mother is an IV drug-using prostitute that has hepatitis. That's why they give the immunization to the child as soon as it's born. Now,
right.
Number one, not all women are IV drug-using prostitutes who are pregnant, and so they're giving this HPV shot to these young girls supposedly to help prevent human papillomavirus virus, which, by the way, it does not do. It doesn't help prevent it, which is the nuttiest part about it, and it causes all of these side effects, and they're assuming automatically that these 11, 12, 13-year-old girls who are getting these shots are basically going to be turning into street whores and obviously be blunt and screwing a bunch of guys by the time they're 15 years old and spreading these diseases. And the truth of the matter is this goes back to the social fabric of our society. and how our society has completely deteriorated, the fact that we're even talking about 11 and 12 and 13-year-old little girls running around having multiple sex partners. This whole thing's insane. And so it goes back to the family and maintaining control of your children. Now, I spoke about this the other night on the Hodges show and on Hagman's show. You know, we had to send my 14-year-old daughter away to Montana to a Christian youth retreat out there. Basically, it's very, very inexpensive. It's a very good place to go. And she's been sent out there because of behavioral issues. Now, she hadn't become sexually active yet. She hadn't been using drugs. She wasn't drinking. But she had an absolutely unbelievably horrible attitude. And we couldn't deal with it. And so I know what comes next. I've already given you full shows on what happened to Sharon's brother, who they're burying today. And, you know, the guy Todd that I talked about, her half-brother, you know, we haven't seen him three times in 20 years. They're having his memorial service pretty much as we're doing the show right now. And so at least I had a reason not to go to the memorial service, because I had no respect for this kid at all. May he rest in peace. I feel sorry for the family, but, you know, they're like a second family for us. And so the sad part about this is that this whole thing with this HPV injection, Austin, it's all about stopping the spread of venereal diseases and HPV, Papillomavirus virus. It doesn't work. It has all these horrible side effects. Maybe we just need to look back at the fabric of society and say, hey, just maybe we need to be teaching these kids a little bit more in Sunday school. Maybe we need to have them in church. Maybe we don't need to wait until the 13-year-old or the 14-year-old or the 15-year-old has had 20 sex partners. There's something wrong with society when they're trying to force vaccines on young girls like this, Austin.
11 and 12 years of age. I mean, we're not talking about even teenagers. We're not even talking about going through puberty yet in most cases. And one of the biggest problems is that we're seeing this amount of adverse reactions and death, and the product's only been on the market since 2006. It's just coming up on basically its 10 years on the market, so we have absolutely no idea. These girls that first got it in 2006, 11 and 12 years old, they're just now turning 21, 22, more than likely have not gotten married yet, maybe in the process of getting married, haven't even started to have, you know, plan on having a family or having kids. We don't even know what type of issues this is going to cause as far as pregnancy down the road for all these girls that have been injected with this, a lot of times voluntarily because they had no idea how toxic this compound was.
Well, the truth we know is happening already. Massive infertility rates of the girls who've had this injection. And again, this is part of the globalist agenda. And, you know, I don't even like talking about this stuff too much because it's so stinking negative and we give credence to what these people are doing. It's part of the globalist agenda to depopulate the planet. It's all about the fluoride. It's another thing that makes you fertile and infertile and you know, sterile. You know, men's sperm counts are down as much as 90% in most areas now because of the fluoride and the chemicals and the soy and all of the estrogen put into the food supply. I mean, everything's about reducing the population of the planet. And the thing that bothers me more than anything else, and this really just irritates the yak out of me, is this. You know, we're doing okay in the United States. I mean, we've got kind of a flat growth rate, kind of a negative growth rate, actually, except for the illegal immigration, which they've allowed. If they're going to be using these types of just horrible birth control methods, you know, why are they doing it on us? I mean, you know, we're not really growing as a population, as a country, except for the illegal immigration. I mean, kind of leave us alone. I mean, don't be experimenting all this crap. But what goes back to it, Austin, is the fact that they can make money off of all this nonsense. It's always about the money with these Rothschild, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian folks that run the central banks, own the drug companies, own the media, own the TV, own everything. They're the ones. If they can't make a profit, and enslave us in the process, they're so greedy, they simply have no joy in their life. I mean, it's all about profit to these guys, and they nauseate me. But let's get another subject before I start fussing here and start going some kind of...
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Here's a major, you know, the major internet company has stockpiled 3 months worth of food and $10 million in small gold coins for the employees so they can pay them in gold and feed the folks who are working for them. It's called Overstock.com. And it's got an interesting article here with this thing too. This is from the SHTF plan. Everybody knows where that website is. It goes, so what do we do as a business so that we would be prepared if the economy collapses and the Federal Reserve collapses? One thing that we do is that it's fairly unique. We have about 10 million in gold, mostly the small button-sized coins that we keep outside of the banking system. We expect that when there's a financial crisis, there will be a banking holiday. I don't know if it'll be 1 or 2 days or 2 months. We have 10 million in gold and silver in denominations small enough that we can use it for payroll. We want to be able to keep our employees paid, safe, and fed, and our site up and running during a financial crisis, which I don't understand why the site will stay up because the banking system will be shut down.
Well, nobody's going to be purchasing anything, especially if semi-trucks aren't running.
And they go on to say, we also happen to have a three-month supply of food for every employee that they can live on. And he goes on to say, like many Americans who see the writing on the wall, Johnson, the CEO, understands how serious the next financial crisis could be. He specifically mentions a banking holiday wherein we could well lose access to our money for weeks or months. Such an event would not be unprecedented and is exactly what we saw happen in Greece when their economy detonated under the weight of massive debt. What came next was total panic in the streets and starvation as Greeks rushed ATMs and grocery stores. And see, this is what's happening. I mean, this is what we realize that could possibly happen. And again, these globalists are doing this. Now, maybe this ties right together. This may not sound like it does, but it ties right together. This is an interesting article by Michael Schneider, which we'll have him on the show. And it says, mentally unstable Obama looking to start World War III with China. And, I mean, this is crazy. And what happened is he actually put one of our ships right into Chinese waters that they claimed as territorial waters on islands they had built. Like, we really care about something in the middle of the Pacific, right? And he goes, this week, Barack Obama sent a guided missile destroyer to disputed waters in the South China Sea to see if the Chinese would start shooting at it. Yes, this is what he actually did. Fortunately for us, the Chinese backed down and did not follow through on their threats to take military action. Now, the craziest thing about this is, think about this. This is our largest trading partner. And so Michael Schneider goes on to say, needless to say, if our relationship with China breaks down, it's going to be really, really bad for the global economy. China accounts for more global trade than anyone else in the world, and the U.S. is their number one and number two. And already we are witnessing a slowdown in global trade, which is more than just a bit alarming. So far in 2015, global trade is down 8.4%. U.S. exports are down 11%. Chinese imports during the month of September were down a whopping 20%. So what do you think an actual shooting war between these two great superpowers would do? Meanwhile, the Obama administration continues to move forward, sparking World War III in the Middle East as well. On Tuesday, we learned that Obama has authorized direct action on the ground in Iraq and in Syria. That means that our boys and girls could potentially end up in combat areas inside Syria where the Russians are currently conducting operations. I mean, okay, now let me share something with you real quick. And you're going to talk about this in just seconds, Operation Northwoods. And what this was a false flag that Kennedy refused to do. Now, what's interesting about Operation Northwoods, what's interesting about what's going on with Syria and Iraq and this all this stuff I just read about, Obama's not doing this. I'm going to repeat this. Obama doesn't have the authority to do this. He is a figurehead. He's a sock puppet for Lucifer. That's all he is. He's like a little sock puppet you put in your fingers. That's all he is. Okay? He's being told what to do. When Kennedy refused to go through with Operation Northwoods, he was assassinated shortly thereafter. That was put into play by the CIA. We all know that now. The CIA has been routinely running drugs with the Contras and everything else we saw with the Ollie North hearings back in the 80s. This is no secret for anybody. And the person that's ahead of all of this are the banking establishments and the Rothschilds and basically the Vatican, which is as crooked as it can get as far as laundering money through all the drugs. So we've got a secret global government, a shadow government that's been called many times, that's running everything, and Obama is a figurehead. If the Rothschilds want a war, they'll start a war, and they'll make sure Obama implements it. It has nothing to do with anybody as far as the presidency. We have been taken captive in 1963 when President John F. Kennedy got shot and was killed. We had a coup that happened to the United States of America, and we lost our country. That was the last president that I know that was in charge. In the 1980s, we talked about this yesterday, when Ronald Reagan got shot, George Bush took over. I mean, what were you guys thinking, by the way, the rest of us in America? Why in the world did we vote in a former head of the CIA, you know, as vice president and as president of the United States? And when Reagan was shot, Bush basically ran the White House for 12 years. This whole thing is so corrupt and so messed up. Prescott Bush was a Nazi sympathizer. And he's actually going to be tried under the Trading with War Enemies Act. He tried to stage a coup on the United States of America in the 30s with General Smedley Butler, who came forward to Congress and reported on it, to take over the United States by hostile coup with the military. He's going to have a whole bunch of, like, a million troops or half a million troops with Smedley Butler that were going to take over the United States and just march into Washington, D.C. I mean, this is a wicked, wicked, wicked group of people here that are running these things. And the sad part about this is, we get these news stories and we want to talk about them. And the sad part about it is, sure, that's what we're told to believe and what's going on, but that's not what's happening. The globalists want a global war. They want a conflict that's going to be so bad, it's going to wipe out a huge percent of the population, and they can bring us a new world order, a new world government under Lucifer. That's the goal that they're going to do. So read about Operation Northwoods, Austin. Everybody will know what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I got it right here. And also one thing I want to add in, you were talking about it a little bit ago. One thing I do like about what that website did is they have the silver and gold stored up outside of the bank. And I've recommended that to people for years as far as small denominations in silver, or like the 1/8 or 1/10, 1/4 ounce gold eagles. Those are really important to have, guys. I mean, have a couple on hand. You don't have to set your entire life savings in them. But having some extra currency that's, you know, a redeemable value, not this irredeemable paper currency that we all know and use every day, but actual real intrinsic metal that has value and has for the last thousands of years. Have it on hand, man, because you never know when something may happen.
And I personally like silver much better, Austin.
Yes, well, it is easier to trade with. The issue, if we run into, if there is a massive elevation in gold where it's, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 an ounce and you have a gold eagle, it's going to be very difficult to try and trade that for anything that you actually need at the time. Whereas silver, I mean, silver wouldn't, it would be abnormal for it to go much over $300 to $500 an ounce, I think. That would be the max. So, I mean, at that rate, it's going to be a lot easier to be able to trade, barter, sell, and use it for commerce. Whereas, you know, $5,000 gold eagle, man, you're going to be a little paranoid walking around with that.
That's right.
Operation Northwood, back in March 1962, was a proposed operation against the Cuban government, originated with the Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the United States government, called for the CIA and other government operatives to commit acts of terrorism against American civilians and military targets, blaming it on the Cuban government and using it to justify a war against Cuba. This proposal was rejected by the Kennedy administration. And it goes into detail. It talks about exactly what the plans were. And, quote, in Northwood it says, "The desired result from the execution of this plan would be to place the United States in the apparent position of suffering defensible grievances from a rash, irresponsible government of Cuba and to develop an international image of a Cuban threat to peace in the Western Hemisphere." That doesn't get any more false flag than that. I mean, that's 1962.
Kid, I want everybody to watch this video, and I've promoted it everywhere, on the Power Hour, on Hagman, on Hodges, on this show. Watch it before it gets taken down. It's 3.5 hours long. Grab some popcorn, have fun, put it on your big screen and watch it. It's called From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick. From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick. And it goes way before JFK. It goes all the way back to the turn of the last century. And it takes you all the way through and how the Bush family was instrumental as a crime cabal, and the CIA was instrumental in all the drugs that it runs, how Kennedy was assassinated and everything else. If you believe that Oswald was a lone communist gunman who shot Kennedy, you are like living on another planet, okay? It's like saying that Building 7 fell down by itself. You've got to get a reality of what's going on. So read, go to Wikipedia. That's where I pull all this information up about Operation Northwood. It was declassified, had congressional hearings about it. They were trying to start a war with Cuba, and they were going to kill American civilians. It's kind of like flying airplanes into buildings and killing people in airplanes and saying that Iraq did it. Kind of like that, okay? And so the craziest thing about all of this is that, you know, when you see this is happening, and you can look back in history and you can read about it, don't sit here and tell me that America doesn't have false flag events. Okay? And that's exactly what this is. It's called the false flag. They actually set it up through the CIA and they cause it to happen to precipitate a crisis. It goes right back to the Hegelian dialect, the problem, the action, the solution. The problem is Cuba's having problems because they're communists, okay? So our mob that's in Cuba, that's running the government through the CIA, bringing in drugs, they're being thrown out of Cuba. Oh my gosh, that's the problem. The action is set up a false flag to have Cuba come in and attack the United States. Ah, there you go. Solution, attack Cuba, take over the country, get the island back for the mob. That's what this Hegelian dialect is all about. Little tiny incremental steps. Little tiny incremental steps. That's how they do this, and they gradually change the perception of the United States of what reality is. And that's what they've done to us in the past, gosh, since the War of 1812. It's gone on since the Bank of the United States with Biddle and those weirdos back in the 1800s that Jackson had to get rid of. It's been going on for over 200 years, and it's not going to stop.
No, and Operation Northwood is an eye-opener. I suggest anybody that has any type of questions about whether or not these false flags, these bombings, these shootings, and I'm not saying all that stuff is directly linked to a government conspiracy, because the truth is there's very few people that know, and most of the people that do know end up getting killed. But I was very hesitant when I was younger years ago about a lot of these false flags. I was like, no, you know what? I think a bunch of radical Islams really did fly a plane into the Twin Towers. And then I started watching videos, and I started doing research, and then I looked at Operation Northwood and went through it, and I was like, well, this isn't something, you know, some conspiracy theory. This is declassified military material from the DOD from 1962. This isn't a movie. This isn't a book. This isn't a novel. This is the real declassified material that the government planned on implementing false flags against the civilian populace to blame it on Cuba. It doesn't get any more direct than that.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, that if that doesn't wake anybody up, I don't know what will, okay? And then you got we've already talked about Operation Gladio, Operation Condor, now we're talking about Operation Northwoods. I mean, Kennedy was so involved in all of this. He wanted to get rid of the CIA. He publicly said that he wanted to disband the CIA because they had become too powerful. He wanted to completely disclose the alien agenda and what really happened in Roswell in 1947. He wanted to completely get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank and issued Executive Order 11110 and started printing silver certificates and bypass the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, he wanted to get rid of the mob's influence in the United States because the mob was instrumental in the distribution of the drugs that were coming out of the Cambodian Triangle with Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam, and that's why we were putting all the troops into Vietnam, because we wanted to try to protect the drug trade of the opium coming in that had been started years before that after World War II for Operation Gladio. He knew about all of that. He wanted to get rid of every bit of this crap is all it is. He wanted to get rid of it, and that's why the boy was killed. I mean, you want to pick a reason for Kennedy was killed, pick any of the above. And that's what happened. And what happened is the mob helped to get him elected with ballot stuffing in Chicago, and they really, really thought that he'd be able to get, you know, be favorable to them as far as, you know, persecuting them and prosecuting them and everything else. And he chose to take the moral high ground. When he got into office and he realized how screwed up everything was, that's when he gave the big speech about how there's this giant conspiracy around the world that's doing all this, who worked through covert means. He knew what was going on. He said before he was out of office, he was going to expose them and get rid of them. Well, he was dead of you. He was a few months later. The problem is he told the truth. Reagan told the truth when he got into office. They tried to kill him immediately after entering office. And that's why they put in the former head of the CIA as a vice president. I mean, this whole thing is so screwed up and such a mess, and nobody wants to believe it because of normalcy bias, and everybody's going, God, can it really be that messed up? It really is this messed up. And it all goes back to Luciferianism and Satanism and Bohemian Grove and all this weirdo stuff. Here's an article just came across on Yahoo News. It says, Texas woman used in blood ritual by being kidnapped. It says, Dallas, four people kidnapped a woman and held her in captive for 3 days in the San Antonio area home, forcing her to ingest drugs and at one point conducting a blood ritual. The woman was abducted last month and spent most of her time in captivity tied to a chair. She told an investigator she was forced to take drugs, including what she believed was heroin. Her captors also held a ceremony described as a blood ritual that was a form of witchcraft and Satan worship, and they drew blood from her. I mean, this thing is so messed up and so screwed up, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about what's really going on with the Luciferian elite and how they're controlling this planet. Nobody wants to talk about what's going on with the Book of Enoch and how this stuff has been going on for 3 or 4 millennia now. And see, everybody thinks, well, we can't really talk about all that stuff. Why not? See, the problem is we have cookie-cutter Christianity. And don't get me wrong, I'm a Christian, and you guys all know that. I've been very open about that. I was born again back in the spring of 1979. But the reality is that what I understood Christianity to be and what Christianity really is are two completely different things. Christianity is incredible, the power we have when we pray into these different dimensional planes and what happens when we pray. We talked about it on Dave Hodges' show on Sunday night. The sad part about it is most Christians have no idea what they do. I mean, they want to. We have Christians sending their daughters to Miley Cyrus concerts while she sits on a giant penis. I mean, are you kidding me? And this is okay? None of this is okay with anybody who's listening, I hope. It's certainly not okay with me. I know it's not okay with Austin. And see, the sad part about this is Christians got to tighten this thing up and quit being a bunch of whip boys. I mean, when the Scofield Bible came out, when all that teaching started back in 1830 with the rapture and all the stuff that's been going on with all of that mess, which we've talked about in depth, we basically emasculated or castrated the church. And now with the 501(c) corporations, we've gone it even further. They can't talk about any political stuff because they'll lose their nonprofit status. So we basically just decided that nobody from the pulpit's going to say anything and that Hollywood's going to run us, and that's what Hollywood's been doing.
Yeah, you're dead on. That's one reason why I think a lot of people have been so attracted to Donald Trump now as a candidate. And I haven't even been a campaign or supporter. I really don't even get involved in much of this stuff now because I know how corrupt it is. But what is interesting about it is that there's an article by your buddy Coach Dobbenmeyer. He just put out on that. And it's interesting because he says in there, it might be true if our career politicians had been successful running this government, but running the government successfully is not what politicians are trained to do, nor what they do. They are trained in the art of politics, not in the skill of running a successful government enterprise. And it's exactly right. All they know how to do is take money and basically, essentially bribes, and do whatever they're told to do. But what's funny is he makes a valid point, is he goes, can you name one organization now, one mainstream organization at all, that's in favor of Donald Trump? Not one media group, not one political group, not one special interest group. Nobody is in his corner to support him at all. Trump may have his own agenda, but most people know that he isn't out to get rich off the taxpayer. They may not agree with all his positions, but they believe he is his own man, and they feel Trump wants to do the best for America. They know Hillary and Bush will only give us more of the same. And it's true. I mean, we already have seen this from the past. So, I mean, if something would change with Trump, who knows? He may just be another guy they're putting in. But like he says in this article, majority of the time when you see CNN always go after guns, what are they always talking about? Bad guns. Guns are bad. Banned guns. Oh, people that are against vaccines, they're bad. Christians are bad. Anybody that's a prepper is bad. So they're always going against what is really right. It's kind of like if it's right, they say it's wrong. If it's wrong, they say it's right. And so nobody has supported Trump at all. Nobody wants anything to do with him in the mainstream media, which is starting to make me believe that he may be realer than a lot of people are making him out to be, and he may actually be a really good option in the future if they don't try and stop him like they did with JFK.
Well, no, you're exactly right, Austin. That's why he was asking a few weeks ago for some kind of security detail through the Secret Service, because he's a front runner, and I think he needs to get that. I mean, Hillary Clinton has that. I mean, you know, whatever, man. You know, I mean, so some of the top people have it, so I think he needs to have that, because the truth of the matter is, if it comes to the point where we have to vote for Trump or Hillary, God, I mean, really? Really? It's going to be Trump at my end. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Even Trump and Bush. What, we need a third Bush in again? Really?
I don't want Bush in there. For the Bushes, two terms with Bush, and basically then the Bush, basically nothing changed with Bush to Clinton, okay? And then with Reagan, that was basically the Bush ran the Reagan White House. That's three. And then Clinton was two. That's five. Then the other Bush was, that's seven. We've had nine terms of Bush-controlled White House. And I'm sure they're all from the Prescott Bush era, from the Nazi generation. I mean, this thing's a mess, and we don't need another Bush. We don't need another. I mean, the Bush and the Clintons are good friends. They support each other's foundations. I mean, are you kidding me? This thing's a joke. And I mean, and so if I had a choice, I would vote for Ron Paul. Rand has made a lot of comments that I don't particularly care for. Ron never did, but you know. Rand Paul's not going to get the nomination. If we go for a third-party candidate, we're probably going to give the thing to Hillary. And that, God help us, I don't want to look at her on TV for 8 years. I have a hard enough time dealing with Obama. I can't even look at Bush anymore. That is a wicked-looking woman. All right, hundreds of Germany's people disappear in Germany. Have I talked about it? Hundreds of refugees in Germany mysteriously disappear. Local authorities are clueless to where they have gone. These are Muslim refugees. Over 700 of them disappeared in the Lower Saxony, Germany. They don't know what happened to them. They can't find them. They basically were assimilated into the local communities and just disappeared. I mean,
I'm sure they disappeared.
Nuts.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they disappeared right in the general population, never to be seen again.
Well, no, and that's the same thing that happens with the Hispanics that come across through the Mexican open borders. They're actually distributed via airplane by the by the federal government. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And then they get assimilated into these communities. And so now, I mean, the other day I'm driving to church, and here comes like four or five Hispanic women. They each had four or five little Hispanic babies. They were all in tow. It was like a little caravan walking down the road. And there, nobody has cars, nobody has shoes. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, what is this, Mexico? This is nuts. And see, that's what happens. Once they start having these anchor babies here, you can't get rid of them. And see, that's no other country in the world has an anchor baby policy except for the United States. Go have a baby in Switzerland and say, I want to stay here now. They'll tell you to get out. They don't want the, and so, but the problem is that we don't do that. We have this stupid anchor baby stuff. Oh, we have a baby here. He's an American citizen. He's now got American citizen rights, and he has a right to have parents with him, blah, blah, blah. And so they come over here 8 months pregnant, have a baby when they hit the border. That's it. They're in. And now they get 40, 50 years of free welfare. Are you kidding me? This is, I'm sorry. I'm just, no, whatever. Let me read you another. We're running out of time. I've been babbling too much today. Here's another article. This is interesting, too. This is by Kristen Anderson. On the Activist Post, it says the big pharma has been caught again manipulating antidepressant drug trials, putting teenagers in grave danger of suicide. And I've been telling you guys for years with these drugs, these antipsychotic and antidepressant drugs, Prozac, Zoloft, all of these different things, and how what they do. She goes, take for example, study 329. GlaxoSmithKline funded study 329 between 1994 and 1998, and the results show that Paxil, was safe for teenagers, which is a lie. This study was published in 2001 in the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, a well-respected and peer-reviewed journal. Whatever. It was later found, however, that the authors had downplayed the negative results and that GlaxoSmithKline had actually hired a PR firm to ghostwrite the article. Paxil actually clearly increases suicidal thoughts and suicide and impulses among teenagers. And this effect was lied about in the article, not even addressed in the conclusion. The consequence of this type of independent research is far-reaching and in some cases fatal. Underreporting the suicide risk associated with Paxil use among teens has cost hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. I mean, you know, Austin, it is nuts that people give their kids antidepressants. Give them B vitamins, take them to church, give them cod liver oil, get them off the stupid shots that you're sticking in them every 3 or 4 months, and let them figure out how the world works. But don't get into a situation where you're having to give them antidepressant drugs that make them want to kill themselves. That's the last-ditch effort. And the thing about it is, the Prozac has been shown that cod liver oil is more effective at eliminating mild to moderate forms of depression than any psychotropic drug is, any of them. So why don't you try the cod liver oil and deal with that? This is what I talked about earlier in the show when I first started that letter that I had written about living in a hologram. There are natural physical laws that our body requires in this matrix that we're put into. And when you don't allow yourself the nutrients that your body needs, what ends up happening is your body starts to degenerate and deteriorate at a very quick pace, including having problems with depression. And I wish I forgot. This program's, forgive us for not talking about our company. We like doing the show. It's healthmasters.com. Brings you this every day, basically commercial-free. Healthmasters.com. I've got letters that I write on health and nutrition. You can get them absolutely for free. Go to the website, sign up for our newsletter, healthmasters.com. And for all of you guys that are getting supplements and supporting us, thank you, thank you, thank you. And no, I will not, I repeat, I will not turn this into an infomercial TV or radio show. I will not do that. If this is an infomercial, Austin, this is the worst one I've ever heard.
It's a fun infomercial.
I'm not going to do that. And so I'm not going to put 20-minute segments of this show talking about product. If you like what we say, support us. If you don't listen. Okay, Austin, you got another show?
Yeah, one thing that I want to go into detail again is aluminum. There's another article that had some pretty interesting comments on it. And most time, you know, people think of aluminum, aluminum foil, aluminum cans. But there's actually a lot more issues with aluminum toxicity, which is characteristically man-made and almost impossible to avoid now. Even our plants are being threatened with biotechnology firms now trying to genetically engineer aluminum tolerance into them as much as possible, which Monsanto is doing all that, which my opinion is because a lot of the chemtrails. But we're not going to go on that rant right now. See, it says, while there are no known physiological needs or positive biological roles for any aluminum in the human body, the FDA is perfectly content with allowing it to be in almost every single compound that we ingest. The same regulatory agency promotes the mythical concept of a safe food-grade petroleum, allowing food manufacturers to feed us over half a pound a year, which is likely why human autopsies have revealed that almost half of us have pathological deposits of petroleum in our livers and spleen. I thought that was interesting. Reducing the dosage of toxic substances does not make it non-toxic. I can say that again. They say there's a limit of allowable aluminum, which is a toxic substance. Reducing the dosage of a toxic substance does not make it non-toxic. So if I have a pile of mercury on the table and I cut it in quarters and I just say, well, I'm just going to eat a quarter of the mercury, it doesn't make it non-toxic anymore because it's less of the compound. It's still extremely toxic. It just may not hit you as fast as it would in higher dosages. Now, here's a few examples of what are heavily contaminated with aluminum. One of them is food, specifically aluminized baking powder, whereas baking powder is used in a lot of recipes, processed foods. Baking powder almost always has aluminum added to it unless you get organic, non-aluminum baking powder, which I recommend you use if you do use baking powder at all. Second big one, vaccines. Children now receive over 60 vaccines by the age of 6, now which almost all of them contain aluminum hydroxide instead of the now phased out mercury-laden thimerosal. A lot of people have emailed us about that, and they said, well, my doctor told me that this vaccine doesn't have thimerosal in it. That is partially true. They are starting to phase it out of a lot of vaccines because of the bad publicity, but they're just adding in aluminum now. So now you're not getting mercury, you're getting slightly less toxic aluminum in extremely high dosages. You can go on our website at healthmasters.com and read about some of the vaccines on our website that goes into detail of aluminum. Next one on the list was airborne exposure, factories, chemtrails, so forth. Fourth one is deodorant, antiperspirant deodorant. The regular application of this metal to the underarm area is likely contributing to aluminum-associated disease processes, including breast cancer. We've mentioned this before and tell people to stay away from aluminum deodorant. We have a magnesium deodorant that's really cool. A lot of people like it. We've been selling a ton of it. And we also carry the Tom's of Maine deodorant for people that don't want the magnesium one. Both of them are completely 100% aluminum-free and work moderately well in most conditions. I say moderately well because they are not antiperspirants. They do not stuff aluminum into your pores, clogging them up. They are very healthy and used on a daily basis by pretty much everybody here. Next was aluminum cans. Don't drink out of aluminum cans. Don't drink beer. Don't drink soda. Don't drink cola. It's just aluminum cans have between 0.1 to 0.74 parts per million of aluminum. Cola products having even more because of the phosphoric acid. Also, instant formula, children formula. We have a great formula in our, train up your children the way they should eat. Right, Deb?
That's right. We've got a really good infant formula that my wife and I put together after four kids that uses goat's milk and a whole bunch of different supplements that you give the child. Much, much less expensive than infant formula and a lot, lot better. And it doesn't have aluminum in it. So, yes, we do have a great infant formula that's available in Train Up Your Children and the Way They Should Eat book. And if you could probably get that one online. You're going to look at it anyhow. It's going to be on our website. So just go look at that to make sure you get the right title. And you can order that from us. I'm not sure how many of those we have left in stock. But, yes, there's natural alternatives to the formula. Also, one other thing, too, that the government has actually said they're doing, I think it's 500 or 500,000 tons of aluminum chaff is put into the air every single year. It has been disclosed by the government as far as part of their radar systems they use, their scalar weight radar. And I think you've got that part in that article right there, Austin. They're actually telling you they're doing that much. I don't remember the exact amount, but they're admitting to dumping aluminum in the air, but they're saying it's for their radar and for military technology.
Yeah, every year, 500 tons of aluminum-coated chaff during military training operations in the United States, published in the Journal of Ecotoxicology and Environmental Safety. 500 tons, that's a substantial amount of aluminum. There's a couple different things that a lot of people ask us. We have the chelation therapy and also the turmeric force. the chelation therapy has pretty much everything in it to help pull out heavy metals and detoxify your system. We got EDTA, cilantro, alpha lipoic acid, garlic extract, a few other things. So the chelation therapy and the turmeric force are good options for those who have been exposed to aluminum or want to basically try and prevent the amount of metal toxicity in your system.
And also remember, a lot of table salt has aluminum triskelated added to it to keep it from caking. That includes table salt, baking powder, and baking soda. And so you have to make sure you look at everything on the label, because almost everything, I mean, your antiperspirants, deodorants, they're full of aluminum. Your antacids are almost all aluminum. I mean, people sit there and just guzzle Maalox, and it's got all this aluminum in it, and it's supposed to be okay. Newsflash, it's not okay. Don't do that. There's all kinds of natural things you can do for antacid instead of sucking down a quart of Maalox every day. I mean, every person that I know that has done that when they've been young, and as they continue to do it, they start losing more and more and more and more mental function until finally they're diagnosed with senile dementia. And I've seen it repeatedly. You can't pour that much aluminum into the body because it can pass through the blood-brain barrier, and it's been linked to Alzheimer's disease and senile dementia. So they're injecting us with it, they're feeding it to us, and they're letting us drink it, and they're spraying it on us in chemtrails and in aluminum chaff. I mean, so I don't know who in the world a numbskull was in Washington who said this was okay. This isn't okay. I don't like it. I say no. What do you say, Austin?
I say no, too.
That's right.
Yeah, well, as I said, trying to eliminate your exposure to a lot of these things, like I said, the aluminum cans, the deodorant, the baby formula in your children, the vaccines, the baking soda, and, you know, throwing in some chelation therapy and some ultimate multiple, balance out your minerals and help pull out heavy toxins, pretty much the best option you can do. Because the chemtrails, well, I don't know to tell you about those. There's not a whole lot we can do about those yet. So those just kind of suck.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, what you can do is, number one, on real heavy days, don't be running around outside. That's number one. Number two, you don't have to. I mean, not that the air quality inside is much better anyhow, but you don't have to be getting bathed in that junk. Number two, just make sure you take some type of chelation formula. I know I take the chelation formula, but I also go to the doctor that we have in Lakeland about once a month, and I get an actual chelation shot. It's called rapid chelation. It takes about 20 minutes. And I actually have the stuff injected directly into my veins, and what it does, it picks up these heavy metals, the aluminum. That's what it's been approved for, is, you know, heavy metal toxicity. And it helps to get lead and mercury and arsenic and aluminum, all the stuff out of your body. The same thing that our product does with the EDTA orally, the chelation formula, but the injections are better. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. They are better, but a lot of you don't have the ability in your area to get that. So, you know, better than nothing is to at least take the tablets.
Yeah, and some people don't like injections either.
Yes, true. What's your next story there, Oz?
One of the next ones I had on here was the report we were talking about, the Muslim invasion yesterday, and went into detail. I looked at a little bit more research and found that in the mid-1970s, Sweden decided that it would be a good idea to essentially allow all immigration, including Muslims, everybody from the Middle East, to basically enter their country in droves, unchecked almost. I did not realize it happened in the 70s. And what's interesting is that since the mid-70s, over 40 years later, the formerly homogeneous Sweden was turned into a multicultural country. Violent crime has increased by 300%, and rapes have increased by almost 1,500%. So while the rest of Europe struggles to absorb the flood of immigrations from Muslim-majority countries, countries may be well advised to look at Sweden for a glimpse of the future. And it just goes into detail about some pretty crazy stuff, and also, too, that the President Obama is now saying that the United Nations demands that the United States take in 250,000 refugees that they want to have actually documented. I'm sure they've let much more in that they don't even let anybody know about. But apparently the actual Muslim teachings, Allah's teachings, if they are a true devout Muslim, they do not see non-Muslim women as being, you know, women as off limits. They see them as infidels, and according to Allah's teaching, they are sanctioned targets for rape by Muslim men. It is not wrong. It is not illegal. There is nothing wrong with raping an infidel. That's how true Muslim believers see it. I don't know why that became an okay thing in their religion, why that's even good, but that's what they believe. I'm not even making anything up. That's the facts. You can look it up. So we really need to reevaluate this before we just start saying, hey, just bring everybody in, let them do whatever they want, don't put restrictions on them. Ask Sweden, 1,500% increase in rates since they let open immigration in. That's pretty substantial, man.
You know, it's funny, Austin. I remember when you were young, we took a cruise one time. Oh, gosh, I guess it was to the northern, the North Sea up there. We went to Sweden, and you were still, you were probably 8 or 9 years old. And I remember, this had been, what, 96, 97. And I remember when we went to Stockholm, and I remember it was beautiful. And, I mean, it was like I said, it still had pretty much a homogeneous population, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, a lot of really pretty girls. You about went nuts. All these pretty girls running around. I remember that. And but what was so funny with me was I was looking at all of this and I thought how beautiful this place is and how clean it is. A few years ago, we went back over there again with my mother-in-law and on another cruise, and we ended up going back to Stockholm. And it was funny because it was no longer homogeneous. It was basically a multi-ethnic culture in which I saw very few blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. It was almost all Muslim because, you know, they have a lot of children, a lot of 10 or 12 kids. And they were, you know, trying to implement Sharia law, and they had these banners, they were running around with them. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world happened to this country? I mean, where was the ethnicity that they had, the being a Sweden person, being a Swede? I mean, they've lost their culture, they've lost their country, they've lost everything there as far as what mattered for that they've been involved in for 1,000, 2,000 years. And see, the sad part about this is we already drove the Muslims out of Europe once, you know, when we had the Great War over there in the 1400s. And the sad part about it is it's all starting over again. But now we're not even having it. Now we're bringing them in. And now the Rothschild banking cartel, they want a homogeneous culture globally. In other words, they want all to be mixed together. They call it a mestizo, in which everybody together is just one race of people. They don't want ethnic groups or international borders. They simply want to have a mass of people in a feudal system that they control through the Catholic Church and through apparently now through Islam, in which they can do what they want to do and kill who they want to kill and be above the law. I remember when you had Richard Nixon, you know, we had Watergate and he had this big scandal and it just completely covered the news. With the current administration, the scandals are so many that they're not even newsworthy anymore. It's crazy. Well, guys, tomorrow we'll have Doc Marquis on talking about Halloween. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate all of you listening. God bless you all. We'll be live again Sunday night, 7 to 8, right before Dave Hodges' show. So bless you guys, and we'll talk to you on Sunday night. Thanks for listening.
Have a safe weekend.
Thanks.